I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday, May the 24th. And we'll talk with a guest this hour who says more and more newspapers are abandoning book reviews and book coverage, and the book lover is worse off for it. And so are newspapers, by the way. Have you noticed this trend? Our guest says dozens upon dozens of newspapers around the country have slashed or dropped book coverage and book reviews. And following the dismissal of the book editor position at the Atlanta Journal-Constitution last month, as well as other cuts or shrinking book review sections at the San Francisco Chronicle, the Chicago Tribune, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, and many other newspapers, his group, the National Book Critics Circle, decided to launch a campaign to save book reviews. How important are book reviews or the book review section of your favorite newspaper to you? Does your local paper provide book reviews? Do they help you decide what books you'll spend more time with or your money on? Or have you discovered that there are many other sources for this information? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. Toll free from anywhere. If you're in Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Our guest is John Freeman, a freelance writer and book critic and the president of the National Book Critics Circle, which is currently campaigning to save book reviews. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for being with us. So are you too busy with this campaign, or have you been able to read some good books lately?
Well, that's the funny thing. For a while there, I was talking constantly about book reviews and not writing one. And after a while, that starts to feel a little bit shaky, but I finally taking a break because it's got so much momentum on its own that every time I turn around, there's a new op-ed piece or a new discussion starting. So it's really actually kind of heartening to see how many people care about this. And it's not just readers or people who work for newspapers or critics. Sometimes it's writers who have been attacked by critics. At that petition in Atlanta, Norman Mailer, of all people, who has had many and many battles with critics, signed saying that we need book reviews.
Yeah, so even the authors who have gotten bad book reviews.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, talk a little bit about that. I mean, I gave a little bit here that there, you know, there's been a number of newspapers cutting back on the coverage. And then this was took on a life of its own when the Atlanta Journal-Constitution fired or dismissed its book editor.
Well, what they did was they reorganized the whole newspaper so that each section wouldn't have a traditional editor, with a few exceptions. So they just eliminated the book editor position entirely. And what they were planning to do, and what I think they're still planning to do, is run the section with input from various different editors. And we just think in a city that's, depending on the survey, either the third or the 15th most literate city in the country, you need someone there to sort of steer the coverage and winnow through the 185,000 books which are published every year.
Mm-hmm. What's the most literate city in the country?
You know, it's funny. I live in New York City, and everyone, you know, you get this bubble phenomenon where you think that you're the center of the world and all the media comes through you, and it's absolutely not true. I mean, a lot of the most literate cities, I think, are Seattle and St. Paul and Atlanta.
Mm-hmm.
I think Cleveland's up there pretty high, Portland.
It's not a big city, but Madison always is considered a book lover's paradise, too, in terms of I think we have more people who use libraries in Madison than anywhere else in the country. So then you had San Francisco cut back on its book section, and there was a big protest.
They did that a couple years ago, and it was pretty astonishing because they had a standalone section that was read upwards of 50 to 60% of the people who bought the paper read that section. So which is a lot, which means that there's several hundred thousand people reading it every weekend, and it was folded out into a smaller section, and the community protested, and they brought it back. And then just recently, about 6 months ago, due to some apparently printing problem, they had to cut the section back again to 4 pages, and this time there hasn't been as much of a protest, and so the section is staying there at that size. Which, in a city like San Francisco, where there's so many readers and so many people read the section, it just seems like the newspaper is saying to the community, well, we know you want this, but we have to do this. And I just don't think newspapers should run that way, because eventually they'll alienate their audience.
Yeah. So why are the newspapers, so many of them, cutting back on these book reviews?
Well, there's a number of different reasons that are provided. The number one usually is that newspapers are changing and their business model is changing. People get their information over the internet, they watch television, they listen to podcasts, less people subscribe to the paper, especially younger people. And so their profit margins are shrinking. There's less classified ads to be had because things like AutoTrader and Craigslist are really eating away at some of the places where newspapers made a lot of their money. So there is a serious change here, and it's not just craven capitalism. There is a big shift in the way that people get their news. And the trick, what we're trying to do, is saying that book reviews are not an extraneous thing to newspapers, and that if newspapers look to book reviews as ways to move into the future, I think we can all win. And that may not mean maintaining the exact number of pages, but there are lots of other ways. You can expand coverage on the internet and provide even more to people and make the book page kind of a place where the community goes to talk to itself.
We're talking with John Freeman. He's a freelance writer, book critic, president of the National Book Critics Circle, which is currently campaigning to save the book review. More and more newspapers, he says, are abandoning book reviews or cutting way back on book coverage. And he says that's a real shame, because book lovers benefit from this, and newspapers, he thinks, benefit from carrying book reviews too. What about you? Do you depend on book reviews? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. We welcome your thoughts and questions for our guest. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 18 minutes past 6 o'clock on this Thursday morning, May the 24th. Elizabeth Edwards, the wife of presidential candidate John Edwards, will be joining Kathleen Dunn this morning after 10 o'clock to discuss women in politics, her husband's bid for the White House. And we'll also hear from a guest who will talk about the overall role of spouses during the 2008 campaign. That's coming up after 10 o'clock this morning. Elizabeth Edwards is in Wisconsin today for a Women in Government seminar. So you can hear from her after 10. We're hearing from the president of the National Book Critics Circle this hour, John Freeman, freelance writer and book critic, who says that too many newspapers are cutting way back on their book coverage and running book reviews, and his group has launched a campaign to save book reviews. We wonder if you've noticed this trend of more newspapers abandoning book reviews. We wonder if you depend on book reviews in deciding what you're going to read. Does your local newspaper have a book review section or someone who provides book reviews? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Bob in River Falls is with us. Hi, Bob. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning. Hey, forgive me if I haven't had my coffee yet, so if I seem a little bit incoherent, but an interesting phenomenon has developed. I do love reading book reviews, and Professor Peter Schickele had a classical rap where he talked about the book sections missing from the Times being a big tragedy on Sunday morning, and yeah, that would be to me too. But and I noticed in the Minneapolis Star Tribune, you don't see as much, and because I live near there, and so you do have to actually look for book reviews. Now, one way that I get my book reviews is through websites magazines that I subscribe to, such as Skeptic Magazine and Skeptical Inquirer, and they actually do a lot of reviews of books, but that's more specialized. If you don't subscribe to those magazines, you're not going to see those reviews, so you're not going to be aware of the books. But one of the things that happened was Richard Dawkins, the evolutionary biologist, he's written a number of best-selling books in the past. His book did not get any public notice at all until after it reached the bestseller list, and that was generated through the web and through these magazines that I read, where people became aware of the existence of the book because it was reviewed there. It would have been interesting to see, what would have happened had it been reviewed earlier, and if that would have changed anything. And I think that part of of what we're going to see now is more specialized reviews done through the web and through different magazines and so forth that might kind of replace it. But still, you know, you'd like to see large-scale circulation newspapers doing book reviews, for God's sake. I mean, they can do entertainment pages and sports and things like that. I mean, my God, you know, what could be more important than reviewing ideas? And I just wonder what your guest has to say.
Mm-hmm. Well, you're very coherent, Bob. Thank you very much. We'll let you have your coffee.
Well, I absolutely agree with you, Bob. I think there's going to be a trend towards greater and greater specialization. And as you mentioned, a lot of magazines are expanding, not just small magazines, but even bigger magazines are expanding their book page. The New Yorker just recently started running an extra book review in their magazine, and I think they're actually going to have even more in their regular book sections. So I think that's a great trend, and you know, it's hard to even say anything bad about it. What I just worry about, and what you mentioned, is that these large-scale subscription publications will have less book reviews, which I just think is a shame, because those book reviews reach readers who aren't necessarily looking for them. You know, like it would be great if a newspaper would have reviewed Richard Dawkins early on, because then maybe people who didn't know who Dawkins was would have come to it earlier. So there are certain books like Richard Dawkins, like certain genre books like mysteries, thrillers, or science fiction books, which are kind of review-proof and which are built out of smaller community interest, and those will suffer less. I just think it will put the onus on these smaller communities to get the word out about what they're reading, and I would like there not to be a society where everyone's kind of segmented into their special group.
Yeah. What about the internet, though, where you know you don't have to subscribe to a specific magazine, but if you're curious about a subject, you know, you can do a search and find all sorts of information about books maybe written about that and other reviews about books on the internet.
Oh, it's terrific. I mean, there's so many resources on the internet that didn't exist before. It's almost like you have a personal library connected to your computer. But it's a library which isn't very well sorted. So Google is an algorithm, but it's not a cultural arbiter. And so mm-hmm. if you type in Ernest Hemingway, you might wind up with the rants of someone who really hates Hemingway, mm-hmm. Rather than sort of primary sources on Hemingway or book reviews about Hemingway or authoritative criticism about Hemingway. So that's just the one drawback of the internet is it's not really well sorted for you, but there are tons and tons of things out there for people. But the problem is you have to know that it exists. You have to know you have to have a computer and you have to have an internet connection, and not everybody does. I mean, I think eventually internet and the computer will be like television, where everyone has it. Whether everyone will use it in the same way as people use the television, I'm not so sure. People say they will. But in the meantime, I don't want to leave all those readers who aren't online looking for books behind. You know, I kind of want there to be book reviews in newspapers where people are flipping through looking for the obituaries or the sports, and they stumble on an article and read about it.
Yeah. Well, certainly don't take this the wrong way, but how self-serving is this? After all, you know, you and your members certainly want newspapers to print your reviews, so... Isn't this more of a problem for you than, say, for me?
Well, it's as a radio person, I think it's less of a problem for you than it is for me. I mean, of course, some of this is self-serving. This is our job. It's our livelihood. But it's also our passion. I mean, it's something that we do and that you can barely make a living at. So it's not as if, you know, this is huge dollars at stake for us. But it's a field that at least I got into because I wanted to talk about ideas and literature. And I wanted to talk about them in a way that was accessible to a lot of people, but I also wanted to participate in a forum which has a structure and a meaning and a history in our society of providing those things to lots and lots of people. So, yeah, I mean, some of it is self-serving because I've watched some of my work cut back, but more of it is about wanting there to be a very large debate about books in an intelligent way in this country in print.
Next, we'll go to Keith in Marinette. Hi, Keith. You're on the air.
Good morning. One of the points that I wanted to make is I think that this is just indicative of the newspapers being out of touch with what their readers really want. There's a lot of statistics out there that show that people reading books is actually going up instead of going down, like many people thought was going to happen with the advent of the Internet and the growth of the Internet. And I think that many newspapers are just out of touch with what people really want, because I know that they do want those reviews. And I think that's something that the newspapers need to take into consideration also.
Is that right, that the reading of books is going up, John Freeman? Do you know?
I haven't heard, but I've heard more encouraging statistics recently. And I have heard that, for example, if you put a book on the Internet for free, it won't cut into the sales of the book, that in fact more people will come to the book and more people will read it. So I think what the caller was saying is that the Internet actually can help people read more. And so instead of using this sort of crossroads as an excuse to get rid of news pages and to sort of abrogate a certain responsibility of talking about and covering books as sort of a part of knowledge, I think newspapers should look at it and say, well, we could really actually get more readers out of this. And, you know, the Internet readership levels at newspapers is going way up, and it could continue to go up even higher, and newspapers could get lots of out-of-state, out-of-city, out-of-country people reading them if they create these sort of portals for books, because the people who read about books online are very passionate. And as you said, with the Internet, if something's out there and searchable, you could draw all kinds of people to, say, the Milwaukee Sentinel Journal or the St. Louis Post-Dispatch by just simply having a very nice books page.
Yeah. Is our Milwaukee Journal Sentinel on your list of newspapers that are cutting back or slashing book reviews?
Actually, no. They've, mm-hmm. they've lost a very, very small bit of space, and the reviews have gotten shorter, but the actual number of books they're covering has gone up. And they've actually said that they have a real commitment to books, and that's great, because it's one of those papers where it's giving you an interview, it's giving you a column by Gita Sharma Jensen, the book editor, and several smaller reviews. And I don't understand why more newspapers don't see the sort of obvious link between people reading and people reading the book reviews.
Yeah, but and newspapers, though, you concede are the losing readership, aren't
Absolutely.
A circulation? It's going down, right?
It is going down, which is a nerve-wracking thing for me, because I think where else are they getting the information that people who used to read newspapers and is it accurate or is it less accurate? I'm not sure about that.
Yeah. We're going to check news from National Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio, and then we'll continue talking about this campaign to save the book review, the newspaper book review, with John Freeman, freelance writer, book critic, president of the National Book Critics Circle, which recently launched this campaign to save book reviews, because our guest says dozens of newspapers, dozens upon dozens of newspapers around the country are cutting back or slashing book coverage or book reviews altogether. The San Francisco Chronicle, the Los Angeles Times, Newsday, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, the Cleveland Plain Dealer, the Dallas Morning News, and many others. We wonder if you consider this alarming or not. 1-800-642-1234 and Madison 263-1890. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine, 636 on this Thursday, May the 24th. And we're talking this hour about books, book reviews in particular. Our guest says that newspapers are cutting back. Too many newspapers are cutting back on the book review or the book section, and his group has launched a campaign to save the book review. We will welcome your questions for him, your observations about this. Do you notice dwindling coverage of books in your local paper? Do you get enough coverage of books and book reviews? Do you usually read a book review before buying a book? 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or talk at WPR.org. Talk at WPR.org. Our guest is John Freeman, Freelance writer and book critic, president of the National Book Critics Circle, which is currently campaigning to save book reviews. And our next caller is Jim in Oregon. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi. I speak from the perspective of being the editor-in-chief of the Midwest Book Review, we've been in operation some 30 years now.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been a dedicated, lifelong observer of the publishing industry. And I noted that this trend began, at least 4 or 5 years back, when book reviews section started first to shrink and then to disappear in just a number of small to medium-sized newspapers, and then finally, you know, the large brand-name newspapers that your guest has been mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
And I have a theory on why this is happening, because it duplicates something that happened 30 years ago that gave birth to the Midwest Book Review. 30 years ago, Ronald Reagan got elected president, and in an unholy alliance between Blue Dog Democrats from the South and his Republican Party, they gutted library budgets, federal contributions to library budgets. And small to medium libraries could no longer afford to purchase major house organs like Publishers Weekly or the Library Journal, and had to turn to sources for inexpensive or free reviews to help them with their acquisition selections and so forth. I see that same phenomena happening in a somewhat similar way, because newspapers are losing readership, losing revenues, expenses and overhead are going up, and so they're having to collapse, or they're being bought up, you know, and assimilated, and so forth. And I think the absence of reviews or the shrinking of review sections are due to cost-cutting measures by basically the bean counters that mm-hmm. are now in charge of these newspapers, where once these newspapers were largely in charge of people who were journalists with a capital J. Now they're owned by corporations they may be a subsidiary of an oil company if you go up the corporate hierarchy long enough. And so journalism now is a small J and in direct competition with a commercial bottom line. What are they using that previously occupied page space for in lieu of book reviews? And that'll give you your answer.
Yeah, what are they using it for instead?
Exactly.
Yeah. Hold on, Jim. Thank you very much for calling, but let me get a response from our guest, John Freeman.
Everything he said is true. Newspapers have been collapsing into larger corporate entities. They've been bought up. They've been combined. And so what you're seeing is a kind of clear channeling of coverage of books. So instead of having your local newspaper run its own independent book review with voices from the community, you have reviews coming in over a wire, or if it's a Tribune paper, it's coming from other Tribune papers. So, for example, the Orlando Sentinel used to have its own book section, but after a couple years, they basically took book reviews from the Chicago Tribune, and people who were writing in that section from Orlando just couldn't write there anymore. So I think what he says is true, and actually what's filling the space instead of book reviews is nothing. The paper is getting smaller because instead of printing the page, if there are no ads to run on the page, there's nothing. And so the one thing which seems to be continuing in spite of these cutbacks is entertainment coverage, so television, pop culture. And I just think it's really worrying if people turn to pop culture as something that unites us all rather than something that unites us all through ideas and through engagement.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to add one more comment, if I may.
Yes.
The Midwest Book Review, which is an online book review company, we produce 7 online book review magazines. We are actually benefiting from this current phenomena, just as 30 years ago we benefited from the gutting of library budgets. And how we are benefiting is now these freelance reviewers who are blocked out of their newspaper forums and formats are turning to us and providing us with those reviews that they once, you know, made available to the Picayune Times, for mm-hmm. example. And so the numbers of reviewers mm-hmm. that are contributing to reviews for our online publications has almost tripled in the last 3 years.
Yeah, it's a great time, I think, now to be a literary journal or to be a magazine writing specialized reviews or reviews for a very well-educated audience. The Book Forum is another journal which sort of started up recently, and their subscriptions are growing, and their pages are growing, and the quality of journalism that they're getting in their pages is incredible.
Well, not only that, but we happen to be content providers for Amazon.com, who, you know, is the 800-pound gorilla of online book marketing. And we also, through an outfit called Thompson Gale, provide reviews for LexisNexis and for Goliath and Book Review Index. Those latter two are principally online book review databases for librarians, both academic and corporate, as well as community. We're finding that we are actually expanding the audience for these reviewers beyond which they originally were able to tap into through their local community newspapers.
Well, then, Jim, you don't think that this is a troubling trend?
Oh, I do think it's a troubling trend. I think it's an horrific trend. I think it's a reflection of several cultural trends that having to do with lowering literacy levels, smaller percentages of people accounting for larger percentages of book purchases in bookstores, library patronage, etc. You've got an older generation. Now, I happen to be 64. You've got an older generation, I'd say 55 and up, whose primary source of recreation as well as information used to be reading books. And as we die off, you know, the next generation comes up, well, their primary source for recreation and information is not books. It's various electronic alternatives ranging from radio to TV to computers to, you know, internet to blogging to who knows what.
Well, I'm very happy you called in, Jim, and maybe you'll give our producer your contact information, and maybe we can talk to you about these issues on a future program.
Oh, sure. Yeah. In fact, I happen to know the Wisconsin scene exceptionally well, you know, living and working here.
Thanks a lot for calling in. We are talking about the Disappearing Book Review. Our guest is the president of the National Book Critics Circle, John Freeman, which is currently campaigning to save book reviews. He says that dozens of newspapers around the country, including some pretty big ones, are dropping or cutting back on their book coverage and book reviews. He writes that book coverage has been cut back or slashed altogether in these newspapers, moved, winnowed, filled with more wire copy, or generally treated as expendable. We wonder if you think this is a troubling trend or not, whether or not you have noticed this trend, whether or not you depend on book reviews, especially book reviews in your local paper, before deciding to spend more time with a book. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. 14 minutes before 7 o'clock, coming up after 7, I'll welcome in a state lawmaker who believes convicted felons should be able to vote as soon as they are released from prison. Right now, law in Wisconsin says that a felon cannot vote if he or she is currently on probation or parole. Our state lawmaker has introduced a bill to change that and says felons upon the release from prison should be able to vote in Wisconsin, and we'll wonder what you think about that idea coming up after 7 o'clock. Right now, we wonder what you think about this trend that our guest is concerned about, the disappearing book review or the dwindling coverage of books in newspapers. He says that newspapers are cutting back on this coverage, and that alarms him and should alarm you. We have an open line, 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, in Madison, 263-1890. You know, John Freeman, we do a number of programs with authors and sometimes with book reviewers talking about new books that are coming out, or maybe it's just somebody who's a book lover, somebody at a library or something, and we do a lot of talk show programs about what are you reading and what are some great books. How is that different than the newspaper book review?
They're very slightly different because a book review is a form and it's an argument. So the programs on radio and on television, whether it be Oprah Winfrey or your program, reach a lot of people and talk about books in a conversation format. But a book review is a very special animal. I mean, it's the collision of a sense and a sensibility of two imaginations coming together, and it's composed in private, and it supposedly, in the best form, mirrors the experience you have while reading. And so it's a kind of communion with books that happens in a very similar way that you actually read books. And so for me, that's why I think it encourages reading, because it makes you readier to read. Not that these other types of formats don't, but it's a kind of silent discussion about books that I feel is disappearing and I think needs to be maintained and sort of expanded, actually.
Yeah, so a book reviewer might also include things like the author's argument of X is weak in that, blah, blah, blah. It's not just this was an interesting book to read.
Yeah, I mean, and especially when you talk about nonfiction, which if you look around the web, I feel like there are much more resources if you're a fan of fiction versus nonfiction. And I think that's because nonfiction reviewing requires a certain specialty. Not that certain genre of fiction doesn't, but if you want to review a biography, if you want to review a history of the Mississippi River or the Tennessee campaign, you need to know a little bit about that specialty. And so I think one of the things that we lose when these book sections and these book reviews are cut back or eliminated entirely is a kind of voice of expertise. And I think in America we have such deep seams of anti-intellectualism that we have to be careful of listening to the instinct in ourselves of going with the gut, of sort of emoting versus actually looking towards sources of expertise when it comes to culture.
Yeah. Janelle in Green Bay is with us now. Hi, Janelle. You're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning. Can you turn your radio down, please?
It's actually not the radio. I think it's the convenience store where I'm getting my coffee.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Sorry. Okay. I enjoy this conversation, and I appreciate what the guest is saying. I do agree that people need to read to read, you know, that they're missing that if they can't get access to the newspaper. However, I teach AP Advanced Placement English Literature in a high school classroom, and I get my guidance elsewhere. And I think there are a lot of people, especially with the electronic access that we have now to the internet and to Amazon.com to read online and things like that, that make it not necessary for all of the book reviews to be in a newspaper. I guess I find that kind of access kind of limiting. If it's only reviewing a couple of books at a time and I can go online and read reviews of any book that I want to at any given time, I think that that's a greater resource at this point.
Yeah. What's your
reaction? Well, I agree absolutely. I mean, there's so much available on the internet, and I'm not saying that newspapers should be the only source of book reviews. Not at all. I'm just saying that I think they should continue to run book reviews, and they should probably run a few more. But like you said, if your students are reading about a book or an author, you can go to the New York Times website, or you can go to specialty websites run by universities or academics and read more about that author. And that's great. I'm not saying that those things are bad at all. And I think it's great that Amazon is running more content by authors or special book reviews by either reviewers or authors. So I don't think these two things are mutually exclusive. What I'm saying is that in newspapers, because they reach a wide audience of people who may not automatically go to the book section or have web access, or go to websites which talk about books, need to maintain that coverage, because they're speaking not to the converted. They're speaking to people who maybe read a few books here and there during the year. And I would like newspapers to consider it their responsibility to address those people.
Yeah. It's interesting. Thank you very much, Janelle, for the call. The Madison papers, I once in a while will see a book review or information about a book that I hadn't heard of before. But often, and I'm not being overly critical because I'm in a profession too, where we get a lot of these brand new books sent to us and reviews. We have Publishers Weekly and other subscriptions like that. So I'll hear about a new book well before the local reviewer in the local paper does something on it. Sometimes I think it's way behind the curve. John Freeman?
You said the
yeah, like the book reviews that appear in the paper might be kind of late, kind of old.
Right. I think that's one of the hard things. I mean, in the book world, and if you're covering something in a newspaper, if a book comes out 6 weeks later and you review it, it's kind of old. Mm-hmm. But for most people who are picking up the book in the store, they don't know if that book is 6 weeks old or 6 months old. So newspapers, I think, have to spend more resources to be on time than, say, something over the Internet, because there's a lot less production involved. So
what kind of reviews are you writing? What type of books do you review typically?
I started out reviewing entirely fiction because that was my first love, and then I started reviewing poetry because I like poetry as well, and then nonfiction just because I started to read narrative nonfiction and biographies. Now I just review whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So just across the board. But there are some things that I'm not qualified to review, so I don't touch them, such as Civil War history usually, or in military history from World War II. I mean, there's certain fields where I'd be happy to read a book, but I don't think I'm qualified to review it.
Yeah, and since you're freelance, what do? Do you just send this to, you know, to every newspaper you can think of? Or what, I mean, are you usually commissioned to do something like this?
I'm usually commissioned, mm-hmm. but I write for about 175 papers,
mm-hmm.
Not obviously in New York, and so that's the only way I can make a living is by being very non-local. And so I just interviewed somebody for an Australian newspaper. I just interviewed Sarah Paretsky, mm-hmm. The mystery novelist for the London Times. This weekend I should have something running on Michael Chabon's new book. It's all over the place, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, where is your campaign now? I know that there have been some demonstrations in Atlanta and petitions being signed, and you're doing a lot of writing and talking about this, but where does it stand right now, that your campaign to save book reviews?
Well, the next step in the campaign is Book Expo America, which is the largest book trade show about books, which comes to New York on May 31st, and the National Book Critics Circle is having three panels on the book review there. One of them will be about this very issue, about the changing nature of the news and how it's affecting the book review. One will be about book reviewing and ethics, which is a very important issue. And the last panel will be about the history of the book review as a form and how it's changed over time and who it's reached. And that will feature an intellectual historian, Joyce Carol Oates, a publisher, and it will be moderated by the editor of Book Forum, one of those journals I mentioned earlier, which has really taken this situation and made a good thing out of it, which is a really good literary journal.
Yeah. What is your fear, not for your profession specifically, but for our culture in a larger context, if this written newspaper book review goes away?
Well, I think I have a couple fears. Number one is I fear that we will only be talking about books with people who care about them. And so there will be literary blogs or websites or magazines which reach people, but the general reader, the person who stumbles upon books, will be left behind. So that's one of my issues. Secondly, I really think newspapers have an opportunity here to be idea leaders, to be looking at what is published over the year and to sort of pull out what our culture is saying about itself and present that and analyze that for readers. And I feel like there are other forms in which that is done, but I think right now a newspaper has an opportunity to take the lead in that role and sort of help people make sense of the kind of maelstrom, which is the media world now. I mean, mm-hmm. there are so many different types of places where people can get their information, and I think people need a base. They need a place where they can go to get a lot of information in one place, and I think If newspapers can be that, and some of them are that, but if they stop being that, then I think there will be more noise and less conversation.
Yeah. Are you optimistic?
I am in some cases. Mm. I mean, there are newspapers. The Los Angeles Times recently folded their section into the opinion page, and it had been a standalone book review for 30 years. But they are doing some interesting things by expanding their coverage on the web. The New York Times is doing something similar in that they're running a podcast every week, which apparently reaches upwards of 20,000, maybe 30,000 people a week. So there are new forms, and I think if newspapers can pick up on them, and not just newspapers, but other people who care about books, then I think we can continue. But I really worry about living in the culture of no context.
Yeah.
And I think newspapers and journalists, you know, Albert Camus said that the journalist is the historian of the moment. And I really hope that newspapers remember that when it comes to books, because otherwise, you know, we will have a very messy conversation.
Thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you.
John Freeman, freelance writer, book critic, president of the National Book Critics Circle, which is currently campaigning to save book reviews. Thanks to Keisha Mabra, who produced this hour. Thanks to Christina Taylor, our brand new summer intern. Welcome to Christina and Karen Prager for on-air production. Thank you for listening and for calling in. I hope you stay tuned. There's much more to come. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.